"What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that time on, Judas looked for an opportunity to hand Jesus over. Hello again. What a sad and tragic figure Judas is. What made him hand Jesus over? Was it simply greed? Since 30 pieces of silver really did not amount to much, only enough to purchase perhaps a cheap vacant lot outside Jerusalem, it really was something else stirring in Judas. Unlike today's passage from Matthew's gospel, the accounts of Luke and John speak of Satan entering Judas and led him to conspire with Jesus' enemies and betray Jesus over to them in Gethsemane. Friends, think of it. Despite being a disciple of Jesus for several years and hearing Jesus preach, teach, and perform miracles, Judas nevertheless betrayed Jesus. And his betrayal led to Jesus' crucifixion and death. As a result, Judas has gone down in history as one of the most infamous figures who ever lived. Why? Because he allowed the evil and disordered spirit to get the better of him. Folks, isn't it true that at times evil gets the better of us as well? On this Wednesday of Holy Week, often referred to as Spy Wednesday, and as we conclude Lent, the Church invites us to consider these readings and the various ways when we give in to evil, temptations, and commit sin. Some years ago, William Menninger, a noted psychiatrist, wrote a bestseller titled, Whatever Became of Sin? In his book, Menninger decried the ways in which moral misbehaviors were reduced to certain pathologies and psychiatric diagnosis. He proposed that the day was approaching when practically everyone would be considered sick and their conduct pardonable. No longer would there be any liability for human error, choice, and willful conduct. Everyone would be vindicated through biology, psychiatry, or humanistic reasoning. In a related work some 20 years ago, I published a book titled Psychology in American Catholicism, From Confession to Therapy? In the book, I traced the demise of folks going to confession and instead seeking out a psychotherapist. Now, please do not misunderstand me. Having for many years had a clinical practice and trained graduate schools in psychotherapy, I know well the need for folks to seek clinical treatment, especially for certain mental disorders. On the other hand, having ministered as a priest for 36 years, I also recognize the distinct difference between the process of clinical treatment and the pastoral processes of the sacrament of reconciliation. They are not mutually exclusive, these processes. In this respect, I agreed with Menninger that we are responsible for our actions, and some of them are sinful, and hence we need to acknowledge our sins. So that, and is why at the beginning of every Mass, we are invited to recognize our sinfulness and need for God's mercy. The new Catechism of the Catholic Church has a passage which reads, quote, "In the passions as movements of the sensitive appetite, there is neither moral good nor evil. But insofar as they engage reason and will, there is moral good or evil in them. Passions are very powerful, yet potentially dangerous forces. They empower us both to do good and to do evil. All depends on whether we master our passions or they master us. Passions in themselves are neuter, that is, not morally good nor evil. Were we led by our passions and use them against our reason, against God's laws, and against our conscience, we would do sinful actions. Namely, we would fall into the sins of pride, greed, lust, anger, gluttony, envy, and sloth, commonly called the seven capital sins, but more recently called the seven passions," unquote. Folks, the church encourages us to engage the sacrament of reconciliation, to treat, to consider our sins, especially during Lent and the Easter season, so as to help us more deeply experience the passion, death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And in some ways, a real experience of reconciliation is a real experience of the resurrection. As we move further into Holy Week, prepare to hear, reflect upon Thursday's reading of the Last Supper, Friday's reading of the Passion, and then the glorious reading of Jesus' resurrection, we have readings such as today reminding us of our tendencies and patterns of sinfulness. And when we recognize and acknowledge our sinfulness before God, we enter more intimately into the freedom and the joy of the risen and resurrected Jesus, who reconciles us to our God. This is what the sacrament of forgiveness, of reconciliation, offers us. This is the reconciling process, which Peter humbly chose to do after his denial of Jesus, while Judas, after his betrayal of Jesus, tragically did not do.